There are some people who feel that you maybe were less than honest during the campaign, although we've all known for a long time that you're opposed to the death penalty. But when you said you would honor the will of the people, implement the law as on the books, et cetera, during the campaign, was that disingenuous, or is this something that you didn't really think about until you were actually in office and confronted with your responsibilities?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a consistent advocate for the repeal of the death penalty and was the only statewide official that came out publicly and opposed the two ballot initiatives. So I think people had a very good sense of where I stood on this issue. And I also respect the fact that the people have spoken on the death penalty and the law has not changed. This is a moratorium. This is a reprieve. The only way the law can change is the people change the law. And I hope they move forward in that respect. But the law also states clearly, and I'm abiding by that, that I have the right to advance the reprieve. I have a right to do a moratorium. And I feel very compelled to do so because it's not an abstract question any longer. It's a very real question. 25 people have exhausted all their appeals. The protocols on the injections for execution are going through the last phases of adjudication. And this question is being asked of me much sooner than I ever anticipated. In fact, I didn't know that it would even come up within my first term in office.
Given that, why not go even further? You could have commuted their sentences. A reprieve means they're not executed for now, but in theory, a future governor could reinstate those, couldn't he?
Yeah,
Or
and
she?
that's why, and that goes deep to my sensitivity about your first question. I mean, the fact is, a commutation is certainly an additional step. But don't forget, just a few months ago, the Supreme Court overturned 10 decisions that the governor had made related to commutations and pardons near the end of their term. That was almost without precedent, at least in Governor Brown's term. They didn't send any notification as to why they did that. We're trying to figure out why they did, and those were not death related. And so I want to make sure that we have an understanding of where the Supreme Court is on this issue. By the way, the Supreme Court spends a disproportionate amount of time on prosecuting death, which means they don't spend as much time on prosecuting other crimes. And there is a cause and effect. I mean, the fact is, $5 billion we've spent since we reinstituted the death penalty. 13 people have been executed. $5 billion is the cost of that process. And I think those dollars could be better invested elsewhere, including freeing up the court's time and allowing more access to justice.
So it's not so much that you want to leave a future governor the option of going ahead and executing these people, that it's more that you're not sure legally you could at this point without it being challenged.
Well, you have the you, all of these things are challenged. We feel like, yeah, we feel on firm, very firm legal footing as it relates to the right of reprieve. The governor, those rights are enshrined in the Constitution and they're crystal clear. The question of commutation is slightly more complex. The governor has a right to commutations, but there's a notification requirement back into the districts that the individual was prosecuted. And it requires, if the individual that you're commuting has been involved in previous felonies, it requires then concurrence of the Supreme Court. Not in every case, but in a number of cases. So it gets complicated, but it also extends a much more controversial and complicated stage in this discussion. That said, I'm happy to pursue further steps, but I want to do it sequentially and I want to do it very thoughtfully and want to make sure that we have a process that is transparent and is as inclusive as possible.
So the next step would be to repeal the death penalty, which people have tried to do and failed the last two presidential elections, and clearly Assemblyman Levin intends to try again. How involved will you be? First of all, that would come to your desk. Will you sign that? And how involved would you be in trying to pass it?
Yeah, I haven't read the actual legislation. I think it's just being introduced. But look, in broad strokes, as someone who's attached myself to two of the previous efforts, I certainly would commit myself to the next effort. Beyond that, look, there are a lot of interim steps we could take even before this goes back to the ballot. Number one, we can consider the next phase, and that is the commutation phase. We can consider the next phase, which is, do we prosecute death? Do we continue to move forward as is and spend this more amount of time, not just money, on those prosecutions? And those are interim steps. But the most important step for me right now is to generate a public debate anew, is to engage folks to think through the fundamental question that's being asked. Are we a state that wishes to execute one person every single day for the next 2 years just to clean the decks at San Quentin? Are we a state and are we a people that's willing to execute one person every single week for the next 14 years and join the ranks of Saudi Arabia and North Korea? The vast majority of the free world has abolished the death penalty. The United States remains an outlier with Pakistan, with China, with Iraq and Somalia. I think we could do more and do better. And I think that's the fundamental question that we have to ask ourselves.
This is reminiscent of 15 years ago when you became mayor and, to many people's surprise, started marrying same-sex couples. And I know you've famously told us about how that came to you during the State of the Union. Is this the same kind of thing where it just sort of dawned on you, hey, wait a second, I have a way I can act on my beliefs here?
Yeah, interestingly, the one major distinction between 2004 and the issues of marriage equality and same-sex marriage licenses is that this has been a process for me, a journey over 40 years. This is an issue that attached itself to my grandfather and cause that was very near and dear to him, to my father, who was very involved as a member of the California Court of Appeals in trying to right the wrongs, as he saw them, of the disparities in sentencing for people of color, for people with wealth and means versus those without that wealth, without that means. He saw that manifested in front of his courtroom every day. And now as governor, I'm seeing it manifest as it relates to paroles and commutations that cross my desk, where I see people that have committed the same heinous crimes, but are not on death row and that are literally being requested for parole. And I sit there bewildered as why one person that committed a horrendous act is sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, one sentenced to death, and one is sentenced to 15 years to life. And then you notice some similarities. They tend to be people of color. They tend to be people that don't have a lot of wealth. They tend to come from districts that are more conservative and rural parts of the state. And that's an inequality that's, for me, unacceptable. The justice system is flawed. And the ultimate price someone pays is literally a loss of life. I cannot sleep well at night signing off on that loss of life in a premeditated way. As an 8-year-old girl told me when I was mayor, you tell us, thou shalt not kill, that killing is bad. And yet here we are as a state killing people. She said that in 2005 when we were talking about the last execution, which happened in 2006. 15 plus years later, I can't sit here and reflect on any more wisdom than her own words.
Not to trivialize something, you know, so somber by talking about politics, but the political cynic in me wonders if you were looking for something bold to do that defines your term the way same-sex marriage did as mayor. Or is that ascribing too much Machiavellian strategery?
No, I think,
to you?
Yeah, look, anyone who's known me over the years has known I've been pretty firm in this point of view, so it should come as literally no surprise to anybody. If it does come as a surprise, I think that's frankly remarkable to me, because it shows that folks didn't necessarily pay close attention to my public resolve. Going back, by the way, to my mayoral years, sitting there with Kamala Harris at the time, district attorney in San Francisco, after that tragedy with the Espinoza case, which was very raw and very real as a newly elected mayor, standing with the newly elected DA during that funeral. Beyond that, look, this came to me sooner than I expected. The April date was not something I was considering. We have to file a brief to extend the injection protocol for executions. I thought that wouldn't happen for a few years. That was happening next month. So I figured we should just call the question.
You know, I mean, every execution we've had since they resumed, I've covered them. I've witnessed some, and it's a pretty brutal process, but there are always people there, families who swear they're going to feel closure, and they don't. At least the ones I've seen, I've never seen any closure. They feel as bad after it's over as they did beforehand, and they're surprised often that they don't get what they were looking for. But there are those families like Mark Class and some of the others who insist, you know, this is wrong, and you've taken something away from them. How do you respond to those folks?
I have a difficult time responding, because for the grace of God, go any of us. I couldn't imagine more pain. I can't be more empathetic. I can't be more devastated on behalf of individuals that have lost the things most precious to them, their loved ones. But as I heard from other victims that do not support the death penalty, and I've met with a dozen of those, they said, only thing I really want is the thing I can never have, which is my daughter back, who was killed. I heard to another mother who said this. I'll never forget it. She says, I don't want a violent act done in her name, in her daughter's name. Violence does not give us closure, she said. I had another family who said, don't do this for us. You're doing this to us if you execute the person that murdered our son. It's difficult. It cuts both ways. It's raw. It's emotional. And I can only say this. I cannot, absolutely cannot deny those feelings in someone else, that someone else holds. I cannot deny or even debate the feelings of a victim, a family member that's lost a loved one. I respect that. Good people could disagree on this. But here's the question I'm asked that's unique to this position. I've got to sign the death certificates. I've got to sign the action. I'm the backstop to execute 25 people that are now stacked up, ready to be executed, knowing that just last year, someone was exonerated from death row. Had I been here a year and a half ago, that person may have already been executed by this state in a premeditated way, only then to wake up and find out to my horror that I've got to live for the rest of my life knowing that I assigned that person to death when they were not even guilty of the crime that they were incarcerated for.
Someone asked me if you were doing this in part to burnish your progressive credentials and your national image. How do you respond to that?
I mean, I don't know what more I need to do on that topic. My gosh, I've been pretty out front on a lot of progressive issues for decades, including cannabis legalization and healthcare reforms. I don't take a backseat to many. I think that's a pretty stale point of view, and they're missing a deeper point.